Our second speaker this morning is Brother David Wisniewski from the Brant County, Ontario Ecclesia. The theme for Brother David's lessons this week is Yahweh Will Roar from Zion. This morning's class is entitled Prayer of the Remnant. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Chairman, and good morning, brothers and sisters. Well, yesterday we finished in our review of the three summons of Amos to the children of Israel, and we commented that Amos's goal here is to try to call out a greater remnant and to strengthen the remnant that was there in Israel. And then we got into the two woes, the first one starting in Amos 5, verse 18, and the second one in Amos 6, through to the end of that chapter. And we saw that the judgments that God was going to bring against Israel would also affect Judah, that they would take over the territory that Jeroboam the second in the north and Uzziah in the south had expanded to in this time of great prosperity. But what we find is that God pronounces that when he comes to inspect the land this time and the houses in the land this time, there will be a different result than there was in the days of their coming out of Egypt. Turn with me, please, to Amos 5 and verse 17. Amos 5 at verse 17, "And all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord." And you may in your Bible have a notation beside the phrase, "I will pass through thee," in your center margin that takes you back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, God said he wasn't going to pass through the camp of Israel. He was going to pass over the camp of Israel. Because the houses in the camp of Israel had associated themselves with the blood of the covenant by putting the blood of the slain lamb on the doorposts and upon the lintel. But at this time in Israel, because of their long spiritual demise, starting from the days of Jeroboam the first, most houses in Israel were no longer associated with the blood of the covenant. And so God would pass through Israel instead of passing over Israel. But we considered also yesterday that there was that remnant. There was the encouragement in Amos 5 to seek God and live, to seek not Bethel, to seek the Lord, to seek him that made Pleiades and Orion. In verse 14, to seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And we find actually that God has always worked through a remnant. From the days of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, it is through a remnant that God has chosen a people to be called by his name. And so it's revealed in Exodus 33 when Moses is on the mountain asking God to reveal his glory in the context of the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf in the valley below. God reveals to Moses that his name signifies that he will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, and he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. Even right back from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 4. Now, it wasn't that God was going to just fancifully choose those upon whom he would show mercy and would, at his beck and call, decide who it was that was going to win the lottery and would have grace shown unto them. No, it says right back in Genesis chapter 4 that those upon whom God would show mercy are those that chose to call upon him. So in Genesis chapter 4 and at verse 26, it says, "Unto Seth, that is the son that was born instead of Abel, after Abel was slain by Cain, to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos," or weak mortal man. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And in your margin, you'll see an alternate rendering of these words is to call themselves by the name of the Lord. And both aspects, both definitions are bound up in the Hebrew here. So to call upon the name of the Lord, when we do call upon the name of the Lord, we are also calling ourselves by the name of the Lord. So that's the class of people upon whom God would be gracious and upon whom God would show mercy. Now, in pagan religions, it was more like a lottery. I'll just choose you, and you'll be the person that I'll show some blessing to. But that's not how our God works. Our God responds to those that desire to draw near to Him, to those that call upon Him, and upon those He takes His name and He places His name upon them. So we've called upon the Lord, and God places His name upon us. We become bearers of His name. It's not that God would that any should perish. It tells us this in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And that was the appeal of Amos to the children of Israel. It wasn't that God was ignoring all but the remnant. God wanted the whole nation to live, to respond to his word. And the same is for the rest of his creation, all of the world around us. It's not that God would that they should perish, though they will in droves at the setting up of the kingdom. But God would that all would turn and live. And it says the same in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who, or God our Savior, will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so there's the impetus to us to respond and to be witnesses, as we saw in our class last night with Brother Ryan. We are to be witnesses because God would that all men be saved, but we know from history that it's always been a remnant that called upon Him. So in the days of Noah, it was 8 souls that were saved. Consider even the formation of the nation of Israel, the calling out of Abram and Sarah. Well, at first, Abram's name was Abram, elevated father. Sarai's name meant princess. They were parents of one family. I guess there were two families, if you consider Hagar. But with Abram and Sarai, there was one family, Isaac, and then Jacob and Esau. And according to God's promise, that family would become a nation. But here was a man that had called upon the name of the Lord, that clearly had desired to learn more about God. And God starts to work in their lives. And they become a part of God's plan and purpose. And He takes some of the letters from His own name, Yahweh, and He inserts them into their names. So that Abram becomes Abraham, and Sarai becomes Sarah. And Abraham's name then means now a father of many nations, not just an elevated father, not just a father of one nation, a father of many nations. And Sarah becomes a mother of nations, we're told in Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. And together they are parents of many nations. So when they called upon God, when they responded to His call, He put His name and made it a part of their name, signifying they were now a means by which God would accomplish His plan and His purpose in the earth. And through Abraham and Sarah, all people, all nations would have the opportunity to be blessed. So said James in Acts chapter 15. Recall that James quotes Simon Peter. And James says, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. Now it's possible that Simon was talking about Acts chapter 10 and going to Cornelius. But I think, brothers and sisters, that this reference refers right back to the roots of Israel's history. See, the discussion in Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem conference is, should the Gentiles be brought in to the covenant? Should they be brought into the ecclesia? Should preaching go unto the Gentiles? And Peter stood up at that conference and said, look, our father Abram was a Babylonian. Clearly, the call of the gospel extended to the Gentiles. God would call a remnant out of all peoples, all nations, all languages, all tongues. And so along comes Jacob, and again, God will take his name and infuse it into Jacob's name, giving him a new name, rulers with God. And that name would be applied then to the whole nation, a nation called out of that dark nation of Egypt, created as we saw Sunday afternoon. But even among that nation, we would come to learn that only a remnant would be preserved. And so it has been throughout history. We saw earlier in our classes how the Levites and the faithful went south from the 10 tribes in the north. The majority of the remnant that was there went down to Judah. We'll see in our class today how the rest of the remnant in the 10 tribes will go south again to Judah to be preserved from the judgment. We see in Jeremiah how the good figs in Judah, the remnant in Judah, is carried away to Babylon to be preserved. We see that the remnant returns under Cyrus. Not all that were carried away captive to Babylon returned. A remnant returned to Jerusalem under Cyrus to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall. It was a remnant in Christ's day that would flee the persecutions of Saul and so accomplish the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 1, that they were to go unto the uttermost parts of the earth, taking the message of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to be established. And throughout history, brothers and sisters, God has worked to preserve a remnant who would preserve the truth. And so there was a remnant in Amos's day. While the rest of the nation had changed their worship, while the rest of the nation fell before the gods of gold in those calves that were in Dan and Bethel, while the rest of the nation had slipped because of affluence into apathy for the truth, while the rest of the nation had lost their faith, there was a small remnant in Amos's day. And we read of them in Amos. In Amos chapter 5, we're given indication of that remnant being there. Amos chapter 5 and verse 10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. So there were some in Israel that were rebuking in the gate. There were some that were speaking uprightly in the northern 10 tribes, and they hated them. You know, it's a crazy thing, brothers and sisters, that so often it is the case that those that speak of love and tolerance and mercy, we shouldn't speak out against this worship of the golden calf. We shouldn't be so worried about affluence and apathy. It's not really as bad as we think. We shouldn't make a stand against these things. That when somebody does make a stand, they show violence toward that person. The very same people that spoke of love and mercy and tolerance and long-suffering and grace and forgiveness will lash out with violence in their tongues. And through history, the violence didn't stop with speech. It carried on and became physical violence. The ones who spoke of tolerance had no tolerance for those who stood up for the truth and stood firm. Turn over with me to Amaziah chapter 7, where we're introduced to the spiritual leader in the ecclesia in the north. Now the context is that Amos has spoken at verse 9, He has said that the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise again with the house of Jeroboam with the sword. We're going to look carefully at these words because we're going to see how they're treated by the spiritual leader in Israel. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, so he's the priest of Bethel, the priest. This is the spiritual leader who gives counsel to the king. That Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Not to Amos. Nope. He sent to the king. Not to the person who spoke the words that he has an issue with. He sends to the king, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Consider the words of this spiritual leader in Israel. Amos hath conspired against thee. How was it that almost every king in Israel met their end on the throne? A captain of the army conspired against them. Some of their family conspired against them. A soldier or a group of soldiers conspired against the king. Was that language not used to incense the king? Because of all the words that you could use about the actions of an individual, that was the one guaranteed to get the most emotional response out of the hearer. That was the spiritual leader in Israel. And he has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for Amos hath said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. Really? Is that, in fact, what Jeroboam said? Or did Jeroboam say that God will raise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword? There's a difference, because Jeroboam the second will actually die of old age. But the house of Jeroboam would die by the sword. So he takes Amos's words and he tweaks them to suit his purpose. And he slanders Amos in front of the king. And then he turns to Amaziah turns to Amos in verse 12. O thou seer, go, run away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and the king's court. That was the spiritual leadership in Israel, brothers and sisters. If someone spoke something that he had an issue with, he didn't go speak to that brother face to face. No, he turned to other people. And in his turning to other people, did he accurately represent what had been said? No, he tweaks the words. He uses language that is sure will inflame the situation. That was the spiritual leadership in Israel. Is there any wonder that Amos tells the prudent to keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time? Well, there was a remnant, and unbelievably, the remnant even being treated with this disdain, the remnant suffering because they looked around and saw the ecclesia diving deeper and deeper and deeper into transgression and worldliness. And now they could say nothing. And yet this remnant we find will pray for all of their brothers and sisters. Persecuted though they may be, told to shut up, hated by their brethren, and they pray to their heavenly Father for their brothers and sisters. Well, that prayer is found in Psalm 80. And we might say, well, how do we know that Psalm 80 is the prayer of the remnant in Amos's day? Well, it's quite interesting. In studying the prophecy of Amos, I was looking at the titles of God that were used, and I shared that portion of my studies with you in the handbook. You'll see that it's on page 12. And what I did was I mapped out the different names and titles of God that were used in Amos compared to the other prophets to see if there was a focus in a certain title that Amos was using. And when I was doing that study, I discovered there was a title of God in the prophecy of Amos that is God of hosts, not Lord God of hosts, just God of hosts, or army of mighty ones, or commander of armies, that was not used in any of the other prophets. So I expanded my search and said, well, is this title of God used anywhere else in the Bible? And it was used one other place in the entire Bible, Psalm 80. And it took me a long time, brothers and sisters, to understand what the relationship was between Psalm 80. Clearly, in this alone, there was a connection between Psalm 80 and the prophecy of Amos. But what was it? And as we looked through and studied this passage more, we could see questions and refrains that were found in the Psalm 80 that were also spoken of in the prophecy of Amos. And so in Psalm 80, three times the ecclesia, the remnant, will pray, turn us again. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 80. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And verse 7, turn us again, O God of hosts. And there's that title of God in Psalm 80. O God of hosts, O commander of armies, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And in verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. This was the prayer of the remnant in Amos's day. And how does God respond through the words of Amos? This prayer has been made. Clearly, it was put in the form of a letter. It was a group, it was a community that were making this appeal. And one day, a man of Judah shows up in Israel. And he stands up in their midst. The ecclesia, the remnant, had asked, why hast thou broken down the hedges? This vineyard you planted in verse 8. You planted it here. You cast out the heathen. Verse 9, you prepared room before it. You caused it to take deep root. It filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. The boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs to the sea, her boughs to the sea, and her branches to the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by do pluck her? Because you sold the poor for a pair of shoes. Because you slept on the cloak of those that had given you that for a pledge. Because you invented to yourself popular music and thought that you were singing and glorifying me like David. Because your religion as a nation became a vain religion. And the appeal in verse 14 is, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. And in Amos, God says, I will. But it won't be right now. It'll be at the establishment of my kingdom. And this remnant had said, turn us again, O God of hosts, O Lord God of hosts. And God in Amos 4 said, I tried. I brought you no rain in one city and rain in another city, but you didn't turn back to me. And I brought plagues upon the land, and you didn't turn back to me, and you didn't return unto me, and you didn't return unto me, and you didn't return unto me. Can you see that this prayer of the remnant, not for themselves, for their nation, for all their ecclesias, was that God would turn again and bless them. They were praying for the very people that despised them and abused them. They were praying for that poor spiritual leadership in Jeroboam, in Amaziah. Of course they were, because that's the spirit of the remnant. They can be despised. They can be rejected. They can be cast out. They can be beaten, verbally or physically. They can be put on a cross. And it doesn't matter. They'll still pray for those that abuse them. That was the spirit of this remnant. And so not only are Psalm 80 and Amos connected in the use of a title of God, O God of hosts, twice in Psalm 80, and also in the prophecy of Amos seven times. In Amos 3 verse 13, 4 verse 14, 5 verse 14, verse 16, verse 27, 6 verse 8, and 6 verse 14, the number of completeness or covenant. And so even though the ruling class in Israel had muzzled the prophets, they tried to silence the righteous, God would still answer this faithful remnant's prayer through the sending of Amos the prophet from Judah. This was the spirit spoken of by our Lord Jesus Christ that was demonstrated by this remnant. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 28. Starting at verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them likewise. This was the spirit, brothers and sisters, of the remnant, the faithful. In the days of Jeroboam II, well, the ecclesia was going along merrily, thinking everything was fine, that they were practicing this wonderful religion that was empty. There was a remnant that saw it. They had shut up the prophets. They had silenced the righteous. But they could still pray to their heavenly Father. And God would answer their prayer by sending this man Amos. And so we've listed before you some of the parallels between Psalm 80 and the prophecy of Amos. And I believe these are all in your book as well, on page 11. How long wilt thou be angry? And in Amos 9, verse 13, Amos reveals that God's anger will remain until the establishment of the kingdom. We saw that in our reading yesterday in Ezekiel. With fury poured out, God would bring them out of all nations. So in Amos chapter 9, verse 13, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Turn us again, God says, I tried. Why hast thou broken us down? Because of your actions. Thou brought us a vine out of Egypt, and three times in Amos's prophecy, he would make reference to bringing them out of Egypt. And the prayer of the remnant was bemoaning the fact that they which pass by her do pluck her up. But as we read in Amos 9 verse 15, in that day they would be planted and would no more be pulled up. So God gave an answer to this prayer of this faithful remnant through the prophet Amos. And it wasn't just an answer to their questions, it was also an answer to how that faithful remnant would survive the onslaught of the Assyrian army. Consider back in Amos 5, the passages we looked at yesterday and briefly reviewed this morning in verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. At verse 6, seek the Lord, and ye shall live. In verse 13 to 15, therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. Establish judgment in the gate. And it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And if you were that faithful remnant, brothers and sisters, living at this time, and not many years further on from now, the Assyrian army started sweeping through the land, you would hold on desperately to these words as city after city after city fell to the Assyrians. As the stories of their torture and atrocities came through each town, there was this faithful remnant which recognized God's mercy in sending a man from Judah in answer to their prayer. And they would cling to these words, seek me and ye shall live. Seek me and ye shall live. Seek me. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto a remnant. But as more and more of Israel fell, you would wonder, how is it that God is going to give us life? It seems impossible with the continual waves of attacks by the Assyrians. Well, an answer came. One day, in their villages, they could hear a horse coming off in the distance, and no doubt it would cause them to tremble, wondering if it was another advancing army coming into the land of the Assyrians. But one looks out the window, realizing the sound of the hooves come from the south. And they say, there's only one rider. And they look Jewish, not Assyrian. And the rider stops and he gets off his horse. And turn with me to 2 Chronicles 30, where we read the message of that rider. Second Chronicles 30. Reading from verse 1 to verse 12. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, to all Israel and Judah. Now in Hezekiah's day, the northern 10 tribes have essentially been wiped out. There will be one more onslaught, if you remember our timeline, of the Assyrians and 28,000 Israelites that remained in the north would be carried away captive. And yet Hezekiah sends to all Israel and to Judah. and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah according to the commandment to the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. Hold your hand there, brothers and sisters, and turn back over to Psalm 80. Verse 3 of Psalm 80, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 7, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And flipping back over to 2 Chronicles 30, verse 6. Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you, of Joseph, that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. Seek me, and ye shall live. And be not like your fathers, and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see all around you. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. How many times did the remnant in the north pray that God would turn them again to him? 3 times. And how many times did the rider of that horse, as the post was sent throughout all the land of Israel, tell them as he read that letter that they should turn again to their God? 3 times. Is it not clearly the answer to the prayer of the faithful remnant in Psalm 80? Is it not the method by which God had promised through the prophet Moses, if ye seek me, ye shall live? So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. Turn us again. Turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Turn us again. If ye turn again unto the Lord, turn us again if ye return unto him. And so the prayer of this faithful remnant was answered, brothers and sisters, when the posts came throughout all the land of Israel and called them down to a Passover. And those in Judah opened their homes to their brothers and sisters who had suffered such great loss in the north, who had prayed for the very brothers and sisters who had been slain by the Assyrians and carried away captive. How merciful is our God. How gracious is our Heavenly Father. And there's a great exhortation, brothers and sisters, in this to be a faithful remnant. No matter how bad things get, even if they get this bad in the ecclesial world, brothers and sisters, we can still pray for our brothers and sisters. We can still seek a way of escape. And you know, this remnant in Amos's day, in the days of Jeroboam II, understood where true salvation would come from. Turn with me back to Psalm 80. They say at verse 17, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So we will not go back from thee. Preserve us alive, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And this faithful remnant, who appealed to their God to save them in a perverse time in Israel, through the riders bearing the message of this faithful king in Judah, would provide the perfect answer to their prayer. And the nation that they had prayed for, the ecclesias they had prayed for, would be carried away. But it was with a purpose, because one day God would bring them back again. And you know, Psalm 80 actually has another, call it overtone, prophetically. It also foreshadows the children of Israel coming out of every nation. And those three refrains that are repeated with a different title of God used each time at verse 3, at verse 7, and at verse 19 speak of a calling out of a remnant. See, when Elijah and the saints first go to them, they're told, turn us again, O God, and thy face will shine, and we shall be saved. The remnant, as they come out of all nations, not all the Jews out of all nations, but the remnant within those Jews, they understand that they need to turn again to their God, that they have forsaken his ways. And in Ezekiel 36 and Ezekiel 37, time and time again, it will speak of the fact that the Jews returning from all nations will be very humbled by the fact that they had forsaken their God, and will acknowledge that they needed turning. And at this point in time in their development, they know God as Elohim, as mighty ones. But as that remnant is brought through the fire, through the wilderness of the people, as it speaks in Ezekiel 20, they come to understand God as a commander of armies in verse 7. And when that remnant, the 1/10, the 10 out of 100, the 100 out of 1,000, those that pass under the rod from Ezekiel 20, when they finally, that remnant comes back to the land, look what they say. Turn us again, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And that remnant will understand God's plan and God's purpose. And they'll understand that that plan and purpose was executed through a man who was upon his right hand, the Son of Man, whom God had made strong for himself. And they'll be brought into the fold. part of the ecclesia, and they'll be planted in that land once again, and will no more be plucked up.
Thank you, Brother David, for the lessons from Amos. We must remain that faithful remnant and turn again so that we and our brothers and sisters might live. Our next class will start promptly at 11 o'clock, so please be back in your seats a minute or so before 11. Thank you. Thank you.